Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Division 3 Podcast. I'm Zach Babineau. Today, as we enter the second round of Division 3 playoffs, we look ahead to a few rematches amongst title contenders. York defeated Susquehanna 8-3 to advance to a game with CAC foe Salisbury, a team the Spartans lost to twice this year, most recently in the CAC title game. After downing Keene State 13-10 in the opening round, Endicott squares off against Tufts Saturday, looking to avenge a loss to the Jumbos from early April. Ithaca defended their home turf in round 1, defeating Montclair State 13-4. The Bombers now face the number 1 seed RIT Tigers, who beat them 15-11 in both teams' second game of the season. We'll talk to each program's head coach about how they prepare for the rematch, what makes the upcoming dates different than the first go-rounds, and how much familiarity remains when two teams meet more than once in a season. As always, make sure to follow along with all the playoff action from each level of the NCAA tournament this May on the new mobile and tablet-friendly InsideLacrosse.com. Follow us on Twitter at InsideLacrosse. That's at Inside_lacrosse. And follow me on Twitter at Zach Babo, at ZACHBABO, no spaces. Okay, now let's find out about some big second round rematches. Okay, the Inside Lacrosse Podcast is joined by Coach Brandon Childs from York College. Coach, first of all, congratulations on a 16-4 season, on making the NCAA tournament for the first time as a program, and then capturing your first NCAA win against Susquehanna on Wednesday. You won that game 8-3. Now you face the familiar opponent of Salisbury, whom you already played twice. I guess before we get into the rematch specifically here, you know, talking briefly before we kind of got going, you mentioned, you know, you're a Lynchburg alum. You have a little bit of tournament experience from your time playing coaching at Lynchburg. Was there anything you were able to kind of impart to your guys before you headed into the Susquehanna game, you know, that... of just, you know, what to be ready for, of what to prepare for the tournament? Or is this kind of one of those things where they just kind of have to experience it and there's not necessarily that much you can tip off from your own experience?
I think we actually made a mistake going into the Susquehanna and not game and not looking back a little bit to the experience I had there as a player. I think we took a very much like a business approach to it and I don't know, maybe as a coaching staff, we kind of sucked the fun out of it. And I think when I was playing in the tournament, I can remember, Coach Kadalka down there really expressing that, you know, this is supposed to be fun. And so after yesterday was over with, we met as a staff and we really started to talk about, you know, defining what it means to be fun, have fun on the lacrosse field. Going back to my playing days and when I did play in the tournament, how much fun it was to still be playing in the month of May. And so going into this game, I would say I've kind of looked back a little bit at some things that I'm pulling from my playing experience to move forward, which I think will help us out a lot on Saturday.
Speaking of fun, I mean, just generally, you know, what was the reaction of your guys when you found out that you made the field on Sunday night? Because obviously, you know, you guys finished second in the CAC in the regular season. You played Salisbury in the CAC championship, and they captured the League AQ, so you were kind of waiting to see about those Pool C bids. I don't know how much of a chance or how good you thought your odds were on grabbing a Pool C, but I mean, whatever a feeling is, it's one thing to think you might make the tournament. It's another one to actually hear the name announced and see who you're playing and all that stuff. I mean, I can imagine the guys were fired up and you maybe were excited or relieved or what have you there.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy nowadays. There's so many people that put their two cents out there in terms of who's going to make the field and who's not. And so our guys read all that stuff, you know, and it's hard from a coach's perspective to kind of keep them level-headed and know that anything could happen. Prior to being at York, I was the head coach at Eastern and I was following their path last year pretty closely, and they were 15-2 and didn't get in. And so, I took the approach with my team, you know, anything could happen. And we were certainly watching scores and following along. And, I felt like we had a pretty good resume. But at the same time, you know, selecting 30 teams is a tough task. And so you just never know where it's going to, you know, how it's going to end up breaking down. And so we stayed pretty level-headed about it. And therefore, when they did announce our name, you know, our guys were thrilled. And I think they're excited about the opportunity that we now have to go back to Salisbury and take another shot at them. So,
generally, you know, I mean, you guys have had a good year. You've been ranked in and out. You know, you've been popping in and out of the rankings for most of the year. But, I mean, I think you captured a lot of attention right from the get-go when the first game of the season you pushed defending national champion Stevenson to overtime. You wound up losing that game 9-8. But, you know, then you look at the end of the year here and you guys set a new program record in wins, you know, your first NCAA tournament. I mean, was there something early on in the year maybe that made you think that this year's team was a little special or, you know, a little better maybe than you've been in the past or anything?
Yeah, well, I think we all kind of knew that in the fall. We had the luxury, you know, this is my third year at York. And so when I first got here, we played a lot of young guys. And some of the continuity that we've gotten over the years that have been here really helps out early on in the year. And so we played some pretty good ball right out of the gate. And with the weather we had, having to shift practices, you know, just the craziness of that month of February for a lot of programs, I don't think it affected us, you know, at all, to be honest with you. And if anything, maybe it made us a little bit better. In the early season, as a coach, you have to kind of fight that temptation to run that extra sprint or practice that extra 10 minutes. And because of some of the weather, you know, that decision was made for us. And we weren't compromising any of our continuity. And so, you know, I do think we play some young guys, but they're real familiar with each other because they've been doing it since they were freshmen. And so I think that was our advantage early on. And it's just great when guys kind of, you can just let them play a little bit. I mean, we have our sets and our formations and such, but when our guys are just playing, you know, they're pretty good. So I think that was the ticket. Was some of the continuity that we had on the offensive end allowed for us to score some goals early on and kind of let our defense mature as the year went on.
So, you know, obviously when you guys saw the bracket, I mean, you saw that if you won, you were walking right into another game against Salisbury. I'm not sure maybe how you approach that, if you look at that as potentially a great opportunity, you know, to play this conference foe who's kind of had your number for so long, who's really had everybody's number. I mean, Salisbury, I don't think there's a program out there they haven't beat at least probably multiple times. But, you know, was that one of those things where you're kind of looking at it and going, of course, you know, here's going to be Salisbury again, or all right, good, we'll get another crack at the goals maybe?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely, for me, it was definitely, we'll get another crack at them. I don't think we played, you know, our best game last Saturday in the conference championship game. And it was the first time we got to the conference championship, and it certainly wasn't their first time. And so, you know, I was very excited when I saw that we were going to have a chance to play them. In order to be the best team in the country, which is our goal, you have to beat the best team in the country. And the more opportunities you get to do it, the better chance you have to do it, you know. And so, you know, in order to win the game, you got to schedule the game. And we've tried to put together our schedule. You know, you referenced the Stevenson game, but we tried to put together our schedule to play the very best competition. And now we get one more chance to play, you know, the very best competition. And so so that's the way we look at it. You know, they're a great team. They're led by a great coach. And it's a great opportunity. And, you know, who else would you want to play in the NCAA tournament than them? And so, regardless of the fact that we've played them twice before, regardless of the fact that they beat us twice this year, you know, we're pretty excited about the opportunity to, you know, to see what we got on Saturday. So
kind of, you know, the hook of this podcast is coaches facing, you know, a rematch from earlier in the year. Coaches looking maybe to get a little vengeance in that rematch. And yours is particularly unique in that it's the third time you'll run into this team. And, you know, common refrain I've heard from a lot of coaches when they talk about these kind of postseason rematches, that often when you're doing a postseason rematch, you're playing a team in May that maybe you played really early in the season. And the way teams change so much over the course of the year, you can't really treat it as a true rematch because the team you're seeing in May is probably going to be a lot different than the team you saw in February or early March. You have this kind of unique perspective on that in that since this is the third time you'll be seeing them, you guys played Salisbury on March 22nd. You lost that game 11-8, you know, a close game. And then you see them again just about a week ago in the CAC final. You know, how does that prepare you in terms of you know, understanding the evolution of your opponent over the year and maybe knowing that, you know, the jump from the March game to the, you know, the CAC title game was a pretty big one. You maybe had to really scout that up a lot more. But, you know, Salisbury maybe hasn't changed that much in the week between the last time you saw them now. So, you know, I guess how does that affect preparation going into this game?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think teams do change a lot from March to May. And I think we saw that Saturday. So like you said, we have the benefit of seeing, you know, how they've changed. And they haven't changed what they're doing. They're just better at it. Their personnel hasn't changed. They've just gotten better. And so we saw that firsthand. And so, you know, in terms of preparation, you know, it's kind of nice that we're playing them because, you know, the film and the scouts and the time and the hour that our staff likes to put into these games can be a little bit less because we're so familiar with them, which allows for us to spend more time focusing on us. And to be quite honest with you, I think that's where we went wrong in this last game in the conference championship. I think we spent a lot of time, you know, focusing on, you know, what to do to beat them instead of making us better at what we do. And I think now, because we're playing and then we're familiar with them, we just went through it, allows for us to spend these 2 days, you know, focusing on what we do and getting better at what we do. And I think that's a whole different approach, and I think it's the right approach. I think the more you make it about Salisbury, the more it plays into Salisbury's hands. And so, you know, it allows for you to not even have that temptation to spend, you know, an extra hour on film or an extra hour in the scout. It allows for you to really focus on your guys. And this time of year, it's just fun being around your guys and working with your guys. And so, you know, today's practice was a great one with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of coaching going on because we were coaching the little fundamental things and we weren't coaching, you know, the how you're going to stop Salisbury's man up. And so, you know, I think it's allowed for these, you know, today's practice and tomorrow's practice to have a little bit more of that fun I spoke about earlier, which I think will help us out.
You know, one of the bigger differences you can see from the March game to the CAC final was in the game in March, some of your bigger stars, Andrew Gamble has a hat trick, Tyler Hudson drops 2 goals, and then when you jump to the CAC title game, I mean, generally the offense only produces 4 goals, and those two guys are kept, you know, with donuts on the board. You know, how much, I guess, does that play into this next matchup here in terms of, you know, do you have to try and look at ways to help guys like Andrew and Tyler be more effective? Or often in May, the theme becomes, you know, the guys that aren't the marquee guys finding their kind of hero moments because everybody's so familiar with the big, big names. I mean, how do you maybe try and work to get more production out of the offense this go around?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, offense, you know, scoring goals has a lot to do with all the other things. Winning faceoffs, clearing and effective defensive stops, you know, having meaningful possessions, taking good shots versus bad shots. So there's a lot of things that go into, you know, scoring goals and who's going to score the goals. And I think Saturday's game, you know, last Saturday's game, the conference championship game was, you know, I don't think we executed well in those other areas. And I think that's what, you know, kept those guys off the board. I don't know that it's anything that they didn't do, you know, or we weren't doing, you know, offensively once we got to our 6-on-6 sets. I just don't think, you know, we didn't play, you know, our 40 guys didn't play their best game, you know, whether it's, you know, short stick D-middies, our long stick midfielders, our face-off guys, our goalies. I just don't think that we played our best game. And when those guys are scoring goals for us, it's a product of everybody else doing their job as well, you know? And so I don't think we have to change anything or go into this game plan, you know, focusing on getting those guys their looks. Those guys get their looks if everyone else, you know, so it takes care of their job. And so, you know, we don't go into this game with any kind of, you know, different game plan or to get those guys more touches or more looks or anything like that. The reality is, you know, I think Andrew Gamble took 6 or 7 shots and went 0 for 6 or 7. And he's got one of the highest shooting percentages in the country. So he got his looks, but he didn't get enough of them. And when he did get them, he wasn't finishing them. And I think it's just a product of, you know, everyone needs to do their job a little bit better than we did last Saturday. And those things, you know, then those goals happen.
One of the real standout things from the March game was your goalie, Caleb Abney. He made 19 saves in the game. I mean, that's a hell of a number for a goalie to put out there. Knowing that he has that kind of a game in him against an opponent that, you know, is, I mean, everybody knows Salisbury shoots the ball very well typically. I guess how much of a confidence is that to the back line there that you know, you have a guy that can really just make some heads up kind of plays back there in cage and maybe make up for a couple of things here and there and keep you in a game maybe a little longer?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a great goalie. I think he's one of the best in the country. And isn't that so great about Caleb is he always plays his best games in the biggest moments. And I can think back to when I was recruiting him and watching him play in high school. He played his great games against the best teams he would face, and that's translated into college. He's had some, you know, I don't remember, 19, 20, something like that against Stevenson. And he had 27 in our first game against Mary Washington. So in the biggest games, he plays great. And so from a coach's standpoint, I don't even think about it. And to be honest with you, we kind of take those save totals for granted a little bit. And so when he makes 14 or 15, it seems like, you know, something went wrong. But so obviously I have a confidence, which allows us not to have to, you know, it just lets us play loose in front of them. And if I have that confidence, then I know my players do, you know. And so it does allow for our defense to have a lot of confidence and just play. If you make a mistake, you know, he will bail us out. And he's proven he's been able to do it. I thought he had a great game on Wednesday. You know, I don't think we played our best game on Wednesday against Susquehanna, but he sure did. And so he's proven to be, you know, one of the best in the country, you know, and in our league. And we have all the confidence in the world in him, and it's because he's just proven it time and time in these kinds of games. The biggest games is when he's at his best. So we love that we got him here. We love that we have him for two more years.
I was at the Salisbury-Stevenson game earlier this year, and kind of the big underlying theme of that game was that both teams kind of knew that they were playing for more or less, you know, the one seed in the South, that home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Salisbury really, really loves to have opponents come through Siegel Stadium. And normally, you know, in the postseason, that can be a pretty big advantage for them because it's a fairly intimidating and unique place to play. And a lot of the opponents that they're going to see in the postseason aren't necessarily overly familiar with it. Being that you guys are conference opponents and, you know, you make the trip out to Siegel Stadium at least every other year, you know, some years you maybe make it every year or twice in a year if you happen to be the home and home and they host a CAC tournament. You know, what kind of an edge or just generally, how do you think that plays into it, you know, that your guys should be at least fairly ready for the atmosphere that's going to be created around that program on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helps us, you know, as opposed to, you know, some other teams that it could be their first time playing there. And I definitely believe it's harder playing there than it would be playing them at home. You know, it'd be naive to say it isn't. But it is, there is a comfort factor in playing there. We know the situation. And, you know, we have played big games on the road this year, you know, and so we've played in a lot of different venues. We've played at night. We've played it in the day. Like, we try to get our guys accustomed so that when we get put in these exact places, you know, we're really comfortable with it. And so, you know, I think it is, you know, it's obviously an advantage for them to play home, but I don't think it's as big of an advantage against us as it is against some of the other opponents that they will see down the road if they advance, simply because we've been there a lot, you know. And so I don't think the atmosphere will have much of an effect on us. You know, I just think it's another game to our guys. Just happens to be there.
How does the short turnaround play into this at all? Because, you know, you guys, obviously, you just played a game on Wednesday. Now you got to turn around and play a game on Saturday. I mean, I have always had a bit of a wavering belief in that because you're dealing with mostly, you know, 18 to 22-year-old kids. They're young. They're fresh. You know, they love playing the game. I think kids can kind of get themselves to go on a shorter turnaround. But it also affects things in terms of how much preparation time you have. And maybe also some of the psychological aspect of the guys don't have to sit for a week and think about playing a team like Salisbury. They got one game done, and now they just have a day or two, and then boom, they're on the bus, and they're making their way out there. I mean, how does that factor in both in terms of a physical, you know, the legs and all that kind of stuff, and some of the mental aspect?
Yeah, I actually think it plays to our advantage to having played Wednesday, and they didn't. And it's a crazy time of year with finals going on, and there's just a lot going on. We're actually hosting the Special Olympics on Saturday, and so my guys are involved tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's a reading day at York, so there's no classes, and our guys are involved with the Special Olympics tomorrow morning. It's just one more thing, you know, inadvertently, but it's one more thing, like you said, to kind of get our minds off of lacrosse for a moment. And I think all of that plays into our advantage. I know there was a lot of speculation about the draws and who played who, and I believe Mary Washington, having played them twice, is a great team. And Cabrini had to play Mary Washington, and I think that plays into, now that Cabrini is the advancing team there, I think it plays into Cabrini's favor. You know, I think with down in the ODAC tournament, Lynchburg, you know, with the coin toss or whatever it came down to, goal differential, had to play that quarterfinal game. And that extra game, and then they went on and ran the table in the ODAC, and then, you know, won again yesterday. So I think sometimes when you're the team that's still playing, some of that, you know, lacrosse is fun, and you're not watching film and grinding in on the Monday and Tuesday of the practice of the long week. And that's what D3 lacrosse is compared to Division I. You know, we're playing Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday. And as soon as that doesn't happen, it's just difficult, I think, to keep your guys in that rhythm on game day when it's time to go. And so by playing Wednesday of this week, it kind of gets us back in that right rhythm and right routine that we had all year. And so I like it. I like the fact that we had to play. I like the fact that we had to focus on Susquehanna, who we had not seen or knew anything about until Sunday night at 10:30. And so we spent, you know, from the time we heard we were playing Susquehanna until the time we faced off at 3:30 on Wednesday, preparing for Susquehanna. And again, I think that all plays to our benefit. And now, like you said, it's just such a quick turnaround to this next game that it allows for us just to be ourselves. We're going to put the ball out there and play lacrosse and not overthink or overanalyze any of it.
All right, well, Coach, hopefully you can kind of keep the Saturday-Wednesday pattern here and maybe find yourself playing in the quarterfinal on next Wednesday, the 14th. Best of luck as you guys travel out to Salisbury this weekend, and I'm sure everybody will be watching to see if we can see probably one of the bigger upsets in the past couple of years in the tournament, potentially.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Zach.
Take care, Coach. Okay, the Inside Lacrosse Division III podcast is now welcomed by Endicott coach Sean Quirk. Coach Quirk is entering a rematch now with Tufts, a team Endicott played back in early April and fell to. Coach, I guess for starters, you know, before we even get into the rematch, I mean, you guys made the field this year as a Pool C berth. What was it like kind of for you guys on Sunday, you know, sitting around and kind of waiting to see what your fate might have been, and then when you get announced and you kind of see who you're playing and if you advance, where that might lead to and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. We actually had our end-of-the-year banquet on Sunday. We usually have it that Sunday every year to celebrate the season and our conference and hopefully moving forward to the tournament. So to say our staff and our players and our parents and alumni were uneasy would be an understatement because we didn't take care of business in the conference championship. And as you know, those Pool C bids are precious. We did think going into it that we had a really strong resume with beating some really quality teams and that sort of thing. So we definitely didn't think it was a lock by any means, but, you know, we did know we played a lot of good games and took care of business throughout the year to hopefully have a chance at it.
If I'm right, I think this is the eighth time you've brought an Endicott team to the tournament, and you know, the fourth time you guys will be in the second round. You know, your own familiarity with those kind of advancements in the postseason and maybe any players have the familiarity, I guess, how does that factor into this game or kind of how you guys have played in the playoffs thus far?
Right. It's big. You know, we have been there a number of times. And like anything else, those experiences have helped us in the past. They've helped us prepare our team mentally and physically leading up to this because it has been a long season. The biggest difference about this bid with the previous seven is this is the first at-large bid that we've had. Every other one has come off of winning a conference championship in the AQ, which is great. Our mindset's a little bit different. You know, as that last whistle blew against Western New England, our guys thought our season was over, potentially. It was out of their hands at that point. So when we did get the news on Sunday night, you know, the thing they've been saying is we got a second chance. And they have really held every practice, every meeting, every film session, the game against Keene State in the first round, and now this leading up to Tufts, they've held every moment very precious because they know how quickly it can go away. So our mindset has been a little different, to be honest with you, than the previous seven trips to the NCAA tournament, which I'm very proud of our guys, and they're certainly excited about it.
You guys played Tufts back in early April on the 8th of April. You know, obviously that's a non-conference game for you. I guess I haven't been able to kind of go back and look at that many schedules, but, you know, how long have you been playing a team like Tufts? And has that been a real purposeful thing of you kind of know that they've grown into a northern power, and so it's good to play those kind of teams in the regular season in terms of, you know, building a better strength of schedule and also familiarizing yourself with the kind of teams that you're going to need to play and hopefully beat, you know, if you want to advance in the NCAA tournament setting?
Right. You know, Coach Daly, I think he's been there 17 years, just as I've been at Endicott for 17 years. And we used to scrimmage them probably our first couple of years at Tufts and at Endicott. And then Coach Daly and I have been playing each other for probably 7, 8, 9, 10 years. So, you know, we're very familiar with them as they are very familiar with us. And Coach Daly, he's just done an incredible job really building that program to being where they are today in 2014 and winning a national title a couple of years back. So it's a team, yeah, you want to play during the regular season. You want to beat them, but you know you're going to get better from playing Tufts University and Coach Daly's team. So we are excited to get a rematch against them. We've been fortunate that during the regular season we've beat them the past 2 out of 3 or 2 out of 4 years, whatever it is. But we've never beaten Tufts in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, we're certainly excited for the opportunity and to play another great Tufts team.
You guys played them about a month ago. A lot of what is often talked about in kind of regular season NCAA matchups is about how teams change over the course of the year. Since very often, if you're seeing a team in NCAA, you played them very early in your non-conference schedule. You guys don't have that much time between them. But before even looking at, you know, maybe the way you have to prepare for a slightly different Tufts team, what do you think is maybe different or better about your team from that April 8th loss to this coming Saturday now?
You know, like I just said, what we gained from number one, playing Tufts, and even more so from losing to them, is we really had to put our team, our staff, our individual players under a microscope and say, all right, you know what, we didn't beat Tufts. What could have we done to beat them? How are we going to get better from this? And our guys bought in after that loss. You know, not that they didn't buy in previously because we had a great track record leading up to Tufts, but that was a big opponent. And it's somewhat of a rivalry, even though it's not a conference opponent. You know, we're pretty close in proximity. They've been battles the past few years. So we really put our whole program under a microscope, and we had a great rest of the season, you know, beating Western Ringman in the regular season and Bowdoin and some other quality teams along the way. But I feel that we've just become stronger offensively, certainly. I think that's probably the biggest strength that we've gained from that game, and also defensively, how to really play against 6 top players in the country that Tufts has on offense at any given time.
And then I guess, you know, looking at Tufts from that game tonight, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten to look at some film and you know, as you game plan for Saturday, have you noticed maybe things that you realize you're going to have to prepare for differently? I mean, how different of a team do you think you'll see on Saturday from Tufts compared to a month ago, considering how much teams kind of grow and change over the year?
Well, I think the biggest thing with Tufts, whether it be this year or I was the NCAA site rep for 2 of their tournament games last year, is they coach, and this is a tribute to Coach Daly. He gets it done during the regular season, but it seems like come tournament time, they even just get that much stronger. And you have to bring your A game against Tufts in the tournament because they're going to certainly bring theirs and some. So I really can't pinpoint one or two things that I think Tufts has gotten stronger at. You know, the goalie, Patton Watkins, is playing very well right now. He had a great game against Amherst in the conference championship. You know, obviously he played well in the first round, so I think he has stepped up quite a bit. But like I said, Coach Daly just gets these guys going come tournament time, and they're going to be ready to go on Saturday. There's no doubt about that.
Tufts is the number one scoring offense in the country right now. In the last game, you know, in April when you guys played them, Bo Wood went off for a big day. Cole Bailey went off for a big day. John Upgren had a pretty solid day. You know, in some ways, those are kind of the name guys, you know, that maybe you expect to have that kind of production. As you approach a second matchup with a team like that, do you kind of have to concede it all and realize that certain real productive players like that for them are going to have a day, and it's about limiting other people? Or do you have to really go back and look at maybe how you did against some of those bigger names and rethink how to approach that or something?
Absolutely. You know, all those names that you mentioned are terrific players, some of the best players in the country, in my opinion. So, we look at those matchups from the last game, and we may make some adjustments. We are going to throw some wrinkles at them and make some adjustments defensively. But if you focus too much on the Bo Woods and the Cole Baileys and the Upgrins, you can't sleep on guys like Peter Bowers or Leventhal or Schoenhunt, because those guys are not equally as deadly on offense, but they pick up the slack. They will play well. They do play well, and they are a great supporting cast, if you will, to those other maybe bigger-name players. So you can't sleep on any of those guys on offense for Tufts. But, yeah, we learned, you know, quite a bit from the first time that we played them, and we'll certainly make some adjustments.
You mentioned, you know, your record with Tufts in years past during these regular season games. Often when, you know, a team like a Tufts is a high seed in the North, you know, teams have to come out to Tufts to play them, there can often be a psychological factor that kind of comes in there in terms of having to, you know, get over maybe some of the intimidation type aspects. With your known success as a program against them, how much confidence does that breed, or how much does that help kind of dispel some of those other mental challenges that maybe you have to deal with heading into that game?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that one of the things that I'm really proud of this team, and really just our Endicott teams, you know, several years, is they'll play anyone, and they really don't get intimidated. Do they get those butterflies and nerves? Absolutely. I think everyone does it at every level. But in 2011, when we beat Springfield in the first round, and then we went down to play Salisbury, initially I think our guys were intimidated to be playing what people think of, you know, Seagull Stadium as the Mecca, and it was a new territory for us. So, but we rallied it, and we played Salisbury really tough that year, and then they went on to win the national title. I think that was a breaking point for our program, and you know, we've talked about that over the years. And with this team, you know, playing Tufts, they know they're good. We respect them a ton, but our guys are not afraid of them. And they're excited to play them. They respect them a lot as a team and as individuals. You know, they're happy to be playing them again and obviously going into the game to win it.
Yeah, the two other rematches that, you know, of note in the second round here are Ithaca goes out to play RIT, and York goes to Salisbury. In both of those games, you know, Ithaca and York come off of Wednesday games, and Salisbury and RIT have had the bye and are sitting a little fresher for Saturday. You will have a little bit different of a story in that, you know, both you and Tufts played on Wednesday. You're both kind of coming off the short rest. But just looking at scores, you know, you guys played a 13-10 game against Keene State, whereas they played a 24-2, you know, they beat up on Emmanuel. How much do you think that factors in terms of, I mean, it seems like your game may have been slightly more taxing on your team in having to kind of battle throughout for the win, whereas, you know, with kind of a landslide victory like that at a Tufts, they probably could have run different guys, rest more guys, stuff like that. I imagine it kind of wears and tears in the team a little differently. But then, you know, the flip side, too, is that you guys come off of a game where maybe you had to play a little better, so you're maybe going to ride a different wave into this game. I mean, how do you think those kind of the short rest and the difference in how you had to be handle your first-round opponents may factor into this?
Right. You know, it's something that we thought about after the game. You know, when I mentioned about having experience in a number of tournaments, that happened to us one year. We had to go down and play Mount Clair on the road on that Wednesday. It was a battle. It was a one or two or three goal game. And then we had to have a quick turnaround and play Tufts in the second round at Tufts. And we had grueling practices, to be honest with you, that Thursday, and Friday was a little bit lighter. And Tufts ran over us. They really did in that second round. So we've learned from some of those experiences and getting guys rest. And at this point in the season, you know, we have a good handle on what Tufts is going to do and what we need to do. So just getting some guys rest the past couple days has been really good for us, both mentally and physically. So we feel they're going to be ready to go. And you bring up the point that it was a battle against Coach Terrio's Keene State team. That's going to help us, you know, because we're going to have a battle on Saturday. So I'm glad that we had a tough opponent, a really tough opponent. They play somewhat of a similar style to Tufts. Those two teams played earlier on in the year, and again, we're excited about it.
And I guess, Coach, you know, the Tufts, we said before, is the number one scoring team in the nation. You guys aren't too far behind them at about 7. I mean, does this sound like it has the makings of kind of one of those track meet, you know, high-scoring kind of games that fans kind of like to come out and see, real up and down, and, you know, a lot of goals filling up the net, potentially?
Now, I think so. You know, it's could – you know, I've mentioned Coach Daly a couple times. He's a great coach, and, you know, his offense is very powerful, as is ours. And anytime Tufts Endicott plays, there's a great crowd, whether it be at Endicott or this year, our regular season game at Tufts. So I think it'll be a treat for New England lacrosse fans to come out and see two great Division III lacrosse programs go at it. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of goals scored on both ends, hopefully. So,
all right, well, Coach Quirk, best of luck as you guys head out to play Tufts here this weekend, and we'll be looking to see who fills up the net more, I guess, and advances on to the quarterfinals.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Take care, Coach. Okay, the Inside Lacrosse Division III podcast is now joined by Ithaca head coach Jeff Long. Coach Long, you're no stranger to postseason play and to general success. I mean, you've been at the helm of Ithaca for 27 years here. You have multiple NCAA berths, multiple conference championships. Congratulations on making the field again this year as the Empire 8 champion. You guys play RIT coming up here as a rematch from an early season game. I guess for starters, you know, what do you take away from your opening round game against Montclair and kind of how you guys played there and got a sense of where your team is at as you're playing these tournament games now?
Yeah, the first round was interesting because we came out, we looked a little jittery at the start, to be honest with you, and the kids looked a little nervous, and they finally settled down, which is nice, but we can't afford to do that tomorrow at all, or we're going to be crushed. So luckily the guys found a way to make it happen against Montclair on Wednesday, and our big thing this last couple of days was we want to start the way we finished on Wednesday, basically.
With all the coaching experience you have and the postseason experience and whatnot, I mean, when you have those kind of jittery moments in postseason play, are there certain kind of familiarity or anything or ways you know how to kind of calm a team and get them to get back to playing the way you know they can play?
Yeah, I think a lot of that really rests on the shoulders of the seniors. You know, we try not to, you know, hit the panic button too early the other day. I mean, we obviously there's always a little bit of yelling and screaming on the sideline, but, you know, we all kind of maintain composure, and we knew it was going to be a long game. You know, it was early in the first quarter. You know, some good things were happening. We just weren't finishing a few things. So we knew we were getting some good looks, and luckily with the 9 seniors that we have, they figured it out and it carried on down to the rest of the team.
The upcoming with RIT, I guess that's a rivalry that's not unfamiliar to you guys. You used to be conference opponents when you were both in the Empire 8, and generally it seems like you and Coach Kuhn have taken, you know, what you can to try and keep that non-conference game going from year to year. How does that affect, you know, kind of these postseason games like that when you're playing an opponent that you're fairly familiar with, not just from this year, but generally from a lot of program history?
Yeah, we've been playing, you know, all my 27 years, and I'm sure they were playing before that as well. And I think the biggest key right there is just, a common respect for each other. They've always run just a first-class program. The kids are good kids. You know, there's not all the yip-yip and all that stuff. They play hard. You know, they give you their best. You know, we're going to have to give them our best. And we've had a really positive but strong rivalry going for 27 years. And that just says a lot about them and their program and their athletic department as well.
You know, one of the things that always is kind of a big factor when you go and have to play a number one seed is their home field advantage and you know, the atmosphere and dealing with travel and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, travel isn't too burdensome for you guys because, you know, Ithaca and RIT are maybe about an hour or two apart from each other. And you guys played there previously this year, and as we, you know, we're just talking, there's familiarity with the program, I guess. How much do those kind of, you know, non-game things factor in, like travel, like, you know, them being at home and all that kind of stuff, or how much is that a non-factor when you're as familiar with the program as you guys are with RIT?
Yeah, I think there's always a factor to getting on the road, especially this time of year. I think the biggest thing will be just we haven't played on grass at all this year, and I assume we'll be playing on grass in our stadium tomorrow. It's a very nice grass field, but that'll be a little bit of adjustment, so we'll go up tonight and get a feel for that. You know, it's exam week here, so I'm actually looking forward. I think the kids are looking forward to getting on a bus at 4 o'clock today and getting up and getting a little run around at RIT, getting a nice dinner tonight, and waking up tomorrow to a lovely upstate New York day and get a good ball game in our back pocket. So, you know, I think it's actually kind of nice getting out of here. It was good being home on Wednesday because it is exam week. I think it's almost going to feel almost even better to get on the bus and get out of here today.
You mentioned the lovely upstate New York weather, and that's kind of one of those things. I mean, I lived up there for a little while. I will say there's no more glorious of a spring than an upstate New York spring, because normally the winter you just went through, you know, makes you appreciate any kind of sunlight again. But, you know, what is the weather like up there now? I mean, are any things like that a potential factor in this game? You know, when you talk about May, lots of people talk about depth issues and suddenly if it's hot or not, you know, how that affects your guys. I mean, how do you see any of that maybe tinkering with
this
game?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be warm. It might be the hottest day we play, even as hot as some of the days in Florida, and the humidity is going to be there. The biggest concern, I think, right now is just what kind of, you know, rain and possible thunderstorm may kick in. I mean, obviously, when you play these games, you know, we don't really have that much fun if the game gets extended because of lightning delays and all that kind of stuff. So we're hoping it's going to shift and we can get the game in under 2 hours, you know, and there's no discontinuation of the game and just get it done that way. So it is what it is up here. You know, you deal with it. It's much better now than it was 2 months ago in February, even March 1st when we went to RIT. That was a cold, cold day. So it'll be good playing in shorts, and a little rain never hurts anybody anyway. So, you know, it's all good to go.
You mentioned, you know, you guys played all the way back in the very beginning of March. I mean, one of the things that's an often heard refrain from coaches when they look at NCAA rematches is that the team you're playing in May in the rematch is often very different from the team that you're playing or that you did play the first go-around. How do you think that factors in here? I mean, how much do you think a program like RIT has maybe evolved, and how much can you game plan for a familiarity with the team you saw earlier this year, and how much do you kind of have to throw a lot of that out and game plan for whatever RIT is maybe doing now?
Yeah, you know, this time of year when you're playing two games a week, the way we did this week, and you have two days to prepare, you can't change a whole heck of a lot, you know. So, you know, I think we're both better. You know, I think it's going to be who is more exponentially better, I guess, tomorrow. We feel we've improved. I'm sure they've improved. They look, you know, obviously they look very strong on film that we've watched, and, you know, they're very deep, and, you know, they're the number one team in the country for a reason. So, you know, we're going up there just with a huge challenge in our back of our minds, and going to play as hard as we can, and we'll see who got better in the last 2 months.
Looking at the stat line from, you know, from that first game, Pat's, I'm going to probably butcher his poor name here, but Pat Slaughter had a big game for you guys. He dropped six goals. I mean, are there certain guys on your team that you think can really kind of revel in this moment or adapt? I mean, RIT tends to play a very up and down pace, and they like transition and all. Are there certain guys on your team that if you get into that kind of a game, you think can really seize that and and help you in what may be a high scoring game?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the big name guys are very important, and they've got to play their best, and they've got to do their normal part. I think where you gain advantage on a game like this are the guys that maybe are not the big name players, you know, the guys on the second midfield, or maybe the, you know, the long pole is not getting a lot of attention, or the face-off guy or something like that. The guys that, you know, that you're not reading about, that aren't on the top of the scoring column, those are the guys that I think really, really contribute to winning games this time of year. So we're hoping that we have a lot of contributors tomorrow. We really don't rely on one or two guys every day. Slaughter has had good games like that. He had some really good games where he had like 2 points, you know. So to me, it's like about the third attackman and the second midfield and the third defender and the second long pole. Those are the guys that really, really make a big difference at playoff time, I think.
To that end, I mean, you know, knowing that RIT likes to kind of move the ball a lot and play more of an up-tempo transition game, do you try to pull your team back from that kind of play, or are you willing to, you know, get into that match and think you guys can kind of play that kind of game with them up and down? I mean, they're the number one scoring team in the country, but you guys aren't that far behind them in terms of that kind of points per game production. So I don't know if that's something that you go, okay, you know, let's line them up and let them run, or if you're trying to limit that as much as possible and keep it more of a settled game.
Yeah, well, I think going in, we definitely want to limit, you know, their transition, but I think they probably want to do the same to us. It's a long game, and we really can't change too much. We do like to play the way they like to play. I think you can slow things down only to a certain degree, especially this time of year in Division III, playing the 2 games a week, and you got to have the horses, and you got to run, and you got to score goals to win games this time of year. You don't see too many D3 games where the score is 6-5 or 4-3 or something like that. It's usually, you know, it's usually the first team to 10 is going to win the game, and so that's kind of our philosophy. I think that's RIT's philosophy, and we're going to play it that way. The kids have fun playing that way. You know, it's not a chess match. It's a lacrosse game. We're going to try to enjoy it.
You know, your first-round opponent, Montclair State, while they only produced 4 goals against you guys, they tend to, or during most of the year, they kind of played a similar style to RIT in terms of, you know, relishing that transition and getting out and moving and all that kind of stuff. Does that kind of a first-round opponent at all, you know, prepare you guys for a game against RIT? I mean, you're familiar with RIT anyway, but kind of playing a game that maybe does some similar things so soon to the RIT game, helpful?
Yeah, I think Wednesday's game was very helpful. We came in with the utmost respect for Montclair. We could put a lot of points on the board. They have a good goalie and aggressive defense. They scored a lot of goals this year, got up and down. So I think it was perfect. You know, we didn't have to play a lot of zone offense or zone defense. It was high pressure man to man. You know, it was a great first round game. I think it was probably one of the, you know, I thought on paper one of the most competitive D3 matchups in the tournament, and those guys could play. They had us on the ropes for a while there, you know, and the game on lacrosse, the momentum shifts, it shifted our way. We got a couple of breaks. They didn't get a couple of breaks, and all of a sudden the score is what it was, you know, but that's a very good team we played on Wednesday, and I think it did help us get ready for tomorrow.
To that end, too, I mean, I think most of the coaches I've talked to about this idea, you know, how does it factor in the fact that you guys are coming off of a Wednesday game, you know, shorter rest, shorter preparation, and RIT has kind of been able to sit around for a week? I mean, you can argue they'll be fresher and had more prep, but other coaches sometimes like, you know, the rhythms of the Saturday-Wednesday game and kind of just keeping your guys moving and that stuff.
Yeah, you know, personally, I like the 2 a week. We're really in a routine of playing on Wednesday and Saturday. And yes, our legs are going to be a little bit tired, and we may be a little bit sore. And then they got to see us live. There's certain advantages to not playing, for sure. But I think, you know, I still kind of coach somewhat with a little bit of player still in my mentality. And, you know, this time of year, it's about playing games and getting up and down against people you don't really know. And, you know, I think the twice a week is a good thing. And that's the way we hope to keep doing it if possible.
And, you know, Coach, we talked about, you know, the fact that the first game was all the way back in March, that teams changed a lot, RIT has probably changed a lot. How do you think your team has grown and changed particularly? What do you think you guys are maybe doing much better now that may wind up being kind of a key factor in potentially letting you guys get the upset on Saturday?
Yeah, we hope that you know, all the skill level should be a little better. You know, it's hard to say until you actually get to game day, because the physical stuff, I think, is all there. I think this time of year, unless there's a serious, you know, physical mismatch, It's really about the mental piece and the emotional piece and, you know, believing, can you do it? You know, that's the hardest thing I think that teams like us face when you're playing RIT is deep down inside, you know, do you really believe you can get this done or not? And so, you know, that has to come from within. You know, we try to, you know, promote as much positivity as we can, but it's game day. You know, RIT is going to come after us, man. Those kids, it's like watching hockey playoffs, man. You watch the last 2 minutes of the NHL, it's like playing RIT. So, you know, you got to be ready for 60 minutes. You make a mistake, they're going to take advantage of it. If you let yourself get intimidated, they're going to chew you up. So, you know, that's a big challenge. I think the physical, you know, we can't do much more physically. It's May 5th or 8th, whatever it is. And, it's more, you know, mentally and emotionally and really, really wanting to get it done and believing that you can get it done.
All right. Well, Coach Long, best luck to you guys. You travel out to RIT and hopefully you enjoy one of those glorious upstate New York spring days here and maybe steal yourself an upset and play into the
quarterfinals.
All right,
Zach. It's a pleasure, man. Good talking to you.
Take care.
Take care, brother. Bye.